قلب نشلف از نیوزه هاگو نیست هدیم کوتی کوهایی They come for me and place a heavy price upon my head. They say I've lived a life of waste and shame. They say they'll see me once again when I am gone and dead. At night I hear them whispering my name. They promise me more agony than any man should feel. The blood upon my hand shall be my own.
Below average talent, above average music. The Asylum Mornings on Hellfire Radio.
Hey, what's up, man? I think it's pretty obvious right about now who you're looking at, but I'll tell you anyhow. I'm Shaggy Two Dope, the Southwest Strangler.
And I'm Vina J, the Duke of the Wicked.
And together we happen to be
the Insane Clown Posse.
And right about now, it's time to get a big, big, big fat shout out to Hell's Entertainment, their media outlet for all touring artists.
They offer videography, design work, photography, motherfucking freshology. Are you a touring artist? Do you get out there and grind? Or are you a boring artist? Do you sit home and whine? Because if you're a worker, hook up with Hell's Entertainment.
That's right, Hell's Entertainment. You can reach them at www.hellentertainment.com.
And if you're not done with that, go to hell!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Sinner Sundays, episode 27. Before we get things kicked off, it is a new month. We have a new Demon of the Month this month for Hell Entertainment. Drew, Art Abandoned Photography. You can catch all his links pinned to the top of our Facebook page at Hell Entertainment and on our website at hellentertainment.com. Go check him out. He's actually the official photographer of a hot air balloon place out in New Mexico.
Yeah, which is sick.
Pretty badass. So definitely check out Drew. Check out his work. He is pretty kick-ass. Also, tonight, in the pit, Madeline Morningstar, model, paranormal extraordinaire.
We're going to talk to her. Taxidermist.
We're going to talk with her tonight about 8:15. So, hey, y'all. Christina lost her hands.
Tiny hands tonight. We're doing tiny hands for a little bit until I decided to just fling them off.
So, how's everyone's weekend been so far?
I saw dinosaurs today. How about you?
Did you go back in time?
I did. There's just a lot of traffic back there. I did not expect it with the dinosaurs.
Oh. Is that why you lost your hands? Because the dinosaurs bit them off?
I did. I tried to pet one. I was just like, come here. And then I just went. So now I got.
Okay. So we've been doing this new thing for Halloween season with scary movies, horror movies. Christina, you want to lead a little bit of information into that of what's going on?
Yeah, so every week we've been asking you guys to help us figure out a pot of movies to put in the box. And yes, I just grabbed these with the hand.
well played.
Whether it's classics, new, or indie movies, send us them. First week was...
Let's some grade B in there. We need some grade B.
Yeah.
Movies for sure.
I want that weird shit. I want that weird horror shit.
Yeah, I want some, yeah.
I want some shit I haven't
like
seen.
Japanese horror. The tire or the lamp.
They should make like a kung fu horror with like the voiceover.
It's gotta be.
There's gotta be something out there. Give us something different, people. Give us something different.
First week was Denver. This week was Three from Hell by Rob Zombie. All right, I'm glad I wasn't the one that did that. God, where do I start with that? First off,
Rob Zombie should just stop.
How the hell would they survive that ending of The Devil's Rejects number one? Like, that was
well because they're from hell, and that's like, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. there. Yeah, I don't know. All right. Wasn't his worst movie. Wasn't his best. I think it was definitely one of Sherry Moon's best.
She was freaky in it. Like, it made me so exciting.
Yeah, because, like, 10 years and Locked Up, like, that was really good.
I mean, it was definitely the worst out of the three.
One thing I do have to say that I did read. Sig, obviously, rest in peace. That was a sad loss. He fell ill during the filming. So that interview shot, they asked him when he was ill, can we just do this one shot with him? Like, can we just finish it and then we'll kill his character there? So when he fell ill, it was during the filming. So that whole interview, that was the only time he was ever on set, really.
That I did not know. Poor, I love the Sid's character of Captain Spaulding. Everything from House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and of course this. It's sad loss, of course.
Maybe if somebody else did the movie.
Like directed it?
Would have a better chance, yeah. Like,
that wasn't like Rob Zombie.
M. Night Shyamalan.
How'd that go?
M. Night Shyamalan.
We're on an anti-Rob Zombie apparently tonight.
I don't like it. Like, he should just do music.
But change his set.
And, like, he can totally, like, co-write her movie. I don't know. I just, like, he butchered Halloween and I'll never forgive him for that. So I just think he needs to stop trying to be a director. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean. To your point, it wasn't his worst movie, but it wasn't his best. I thought, unrealistically, Sherry Moon coming out of that jail cell, the jail cell fight scene.
Yeah, what about it?
I don't think she should have come out of it.
I thought she was dead.
It's Sherry Moon. She's a badass.
She should have died in there, though. She comes out and the other people are all gutted and their intestines are all...
I like when the granny was, like, ripping a cigarette, like, an oxygen machine, and she's just murdering that fucking woman.
Well,
she's like, hey, granny! That was funny. What I do like about his movies is, like, sometimes I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
There's a little comic
relief. The deaths, honestly, were pretty damn good in this. That's why I'm like,
yeah.
Pretty gory.
What's that?
There's a lot of titties in this one.
Titties.
I feel like there's a lot of titties in all of this.
There's a lot of titties in Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie's a fan of the titties. I mean, who really isn't a fan of the titties? Let's call it as it is.
So, all right, let's scale it on a 1 to 10.
1 to 10 for, is it based on Rob Zombie movies or based on overall horror?
Overall
horror movies? I'm going to give it a 5.
Wow, that's generous.
I give it a 5 because there was some good gore.
Is it under horror movie category?
Yes.
Is it?
I think so.
Because it's like they're murder. They're like crazy murderers. Like, I don't know, I guess.
I don't know. I wouldn't even call it slasher, I feel like.
But what do you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I hate to do it, but I'm going to do a 4.
Okay.
I'm going to do a 4.
What about you?
I guess because it wasn't his worst, I got a 3.5.
So Chelsea's chiming in here. His worst movie, in your opinion?
What is it? What is the question?
What is his worst? I like 31. 31 was a great movie.
That was cool. I did like that.
I like the concept of 31.
Halloween. Absolutely, that was his worst movie.
You think Halloween was his worst movie?
Oh my god, why? Why did you even try to do that? That was so dumb.
I've seen that one once and one time only. All the other Halloweens, yeah. I'll watch.
Yeah, he should have left that one alone.
Yes.
So
his candy corn Pez isn't bad, let me say.
The candy corn. So explain what you have there, because other people don't know because we talked about it off air.
Oh yeah, so I bought a Pez. Haven't bought Pez in forever. It had a little bat on it, so I had to buy it. And I just looked at one of the flavors, candy corn flavor. I hate candy corn. It's not bad, let me tell you. Not bad, probably just because it's chalk.
Diego chimes in, he says Halloween's the worst movie as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Diego likes the 49ers, so. Okay.
Speaking of football, oh, wait, I'm sorry. What time is it?
It's 8:11.
All right, I got a second to spit this out.
And we
got to
pick our movie for next week, too.
Okay, yeah. So, Julian Edelman, they went on an interview with him. And right now, they're like, Patriots are like, they're Edelman's Patriots, is what the title of an article had said, which I agree. I think he's deserved that. So, in this article, they're like, oh, like, what do you think about Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers? And he's like, Tom who? Hightower did the same thing. They go, ask him about Tom Brady. He goes, they go, Tom who? And I'm like, damn, Patriots are salty. Tom Brady, you ditched the team.
Wow.
But, oh, because they asked Edelman, like, how he feels about playing. He's like, me and Cam. And I'm like, yeah.
All right.
They're going to be insane together. I can't wait.
All right, Christina. We're picking the movie this week live so we can have a little bit more time to watch it. When we pick this movie, we want people who are watching to watch it as well and then chime in next week with us. Give us your opinions. We want fan interaction. And while I'm talking real quick, we'd like you to share, like, post, share, subscribe, whatever the hell you're going to do. Please do it. Hellfire Radio, Facebook, Hell Entertainment, like us, like them. And then you can like our guest later, too. We'll plug all her links when she gets on. Okay, Christina, let's pick that movie.
Alrighty. And I will also post like where you can watch on and everything. So,
and when you post a movie for us to watch, let us know which version, please.
Yes. Week number three is Don't Look Now, 1973. So I will post what that is because I can honestly say I've never seen this one. So it's Don't Look Now from 1973. I will post all the information after tonight.
I think that was a remake. Yeah. Our lights aren't really blue tonight.
No.
That's what's throwing me off. I'm like, what is it?
I wonder if the movie was made in 1973.
I'm going to Google it.
Or if it's like that part of the movie title. Don't Andrea Lynn, miss seeing your pretty face at work.
Hi.
Don't Look Now, 1973 film. Oh, God, this has a creepy old lady.
Oh, boy.
Don't Look Now?
Creepy old ladies usually have creepy old porcelain dolls. Scoops, if you're watching. Porcelain dolls.
It was released January 1974, so I will post a little brief information about it, and we will check it out.
Movie, I'm about it.
Yeah, I like movies that I haven't seen and or heard of.
Yeah,
because
in 70 Hards movies, I the shit usually. So heck yeah,
let's do it. Oh, anything else before we bring Madeline in?
It's officially. Spooky season, because if people didn't think August was spooky season, it's September. We're in spooky season. Get ready.
We're in spooky season 365 days a year. Let's just get real.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
Spooky season is all year round. You Christmas freaks, you have Christmas year round.
26 pumpkins already in my room, like real ones. Like,
Oh, speaking of pumpkins real quick.
Oh, yeah, pumpkins.
We are doing a pumpkin carving contest. On October 25th, we will be broadcasting live everyone's pumpkins from Hell Entertainment, and we also are inviting the audience to participate as well. There will be prizes, judging. More details will be posted on the Hell Entertainment website, Hell Entertainment Facebook, and Hellfire Facebook. But we want participation. We want to make Halloween especially fun because who knows if it's actually going to happen this year. And we have some other cool things coming up. We're doing something for the kids to make it fun for them. Because spooky season needs to happen.
For the kids.
Yeah.
Halloween.
One share.
Halloween season.
We'll help the kids. One share a day.
All right. We're going to bring in Madeline. We're going to talk with her and find out what's going on in her world. And let's get to it.
Hey,
Madeline. How are you?
Pretty good.
Thank you for taking time out on Sunday night to sit with us and chat.
Of course. Thank you for dealing with my little bit of technical difficulties earlier.
No worries. That's why we try and have you guys come on a little bit earlier to get those out of the way. So what's going on in your world?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Since COVID hit, not really a whole lot. I've been working on my product lines. I'll be coming out with a fall line soon that we'll be releasing. Hopefully in the next couple weeks. since fall's almost here. I agree. It is fall. It's officially spooky season. My mom keeps trying to tell me, no, we still got a few more days. And I'm like, no, it's fall. It's fall.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, Christina, what you got up there?
So, I will tell everybody. So, I found Madeline a couple years ago from some of her photography. And I've followed ever since. And she is awesome. Like, you follow those people and you're like, oh, I wish I could talk to them. She is, I mean, we're here. So where did all the photography come from or start? The modeling part.
I decided at a pretty young age I wanted to do the modeling. Did I think I would be where I am now with the modeling? No. When it originally started, I wanted to do like high fashion, do runway shows. And it broke my heart a little bit. I'm too short.
Oh.
Yeah. You might not realize it from some of my photos, but I'm only 5'2". So runway, I've done a couple. Nothing like crazy. But yeah, then I kind of got into like horror special effects stuff. And that's besides promo work that I've done, that's pretty much been where it's at, is the horror, the special effects, and all that kind of stuff.
So when you do the photos, and I'm asking for us because Ashley and I are both photographers as well. Mm-hmm. Do you tend to stay with one photographer, or do you like to branch out and get different styles from different photographers?
It really depends on the artist. I have a couple photographers that I consider my in-house photographers. Mm-hmm. If I have companies that want to do promo work with me, I typically work with one or two that I've worked with for years now. If I have other photographers that are interested in working with me, and I take a look at their portfolio, I feel like it could add to my portfolio as well. Or if I just simply like what they do, I'd be willing to book.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. So what's one of your more memorable photo shoots that you've done? Like the one that's gotten you kind of the most exposure to kind of push you to that next level?
I don't really know what I would say pushed me to the next level. Because I'll be honest, I did a lot of lingerie and pinup. And that's kind of when I blew up. And then I decided, I don't know if this is the genre I really want to go for anymore. It's kind of like, on Facebook, when I was doing the pinup, I had like over 50,000 followers. And then I started posting a little bit of the gore stuff and horror. And I dropped down like 20,000. I dropped down.
Wow.
Yeah. So I feel like when it comes to the following and what I've done, it's definitely been up and down because the things I've done over the years has changed. Like she had mentioned earlier, I dabble in like taxidermy, wet specimens, oddities now. I've always been a collector, but as far as working on projects myself, putting them in my shop, putting it out there like, hey, this is what I do, I guess kind of was off-putting for some people, which I get, you know, not everyone likes to see dead things in jars.
Right.
Can't necessarily say I'm against it, but
I mean, we enjoy it. So
yeah, I definitely have some pretty cool stuff. I just actually recently, I didn't make it. A friend, Jared of mine, did it, and I thought it was pretty cool. He got it. It was a bat. It's probably like this big. Its body, probably about the size of my head. Yeah, my boyfriend's over there in the background, just like, hey, this is actually it. I don't know if you could see it.
Oh my god,
it's in a jar.
Yeah, it's a wet specimen. I don't know.
There we go.
Kind of got a weird glow from the computer, but.
This is so bad
because
you're going to make me get one.
They're very hard to find wet specimens of bats. Typically, a lot of the bats that you see for sale, like you'll see the ones that are in like the plastic or you'll see them like hanging upside down. A lot of them are actually not sourced. Like, I don't want to say legally because in other foreign countries, like it's okay to do it. But I wouldn't say I personally would go and be like, oh, I'm just going to buy this because someone died it, you know, killed it for it to be hanging in my room.
Right.
So that pretty baby was from a zoo. I'm not sure which zoo. I don't remember. I would have to look it up. But he actually died of natural causes in a zoo. And his friend was like, hey, I know you basically make dead things live on forever. You want to do something with this? And he had known that I was looking for a wet specimen bat for a long time. And that's how I acquired it.
That's awesome. Hell yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know about like wet specimen, like taxidermy animals. So that's cool.
Yeah. Wet specimens, it's not necessarily taxidermy.
Okay.
Taxidermy is basically when you skin an animal and you kind of move it around. That's basically what taxidermy is, the movement of skin. So when you skin something, you get rid of the bones, the organs, all of that. And you kind of tan it, stitch it back all up, make it look all cute. Wet specimen, everything's left in. You inject it with formalin. That's what they use to like embalm dead bodies naturally. and then you soak it. You have to make sure you get like all the innards. Otherwise, unfortunately, if you don't do it properly, they can rot. And that is not fun to deal with.
No, I don't. I wouldn't anticipate that being fun at all.
Right?
Yeah. I deal with a lot of roadkill too. So definitely dealing with bad smells when it comes to that, I'm used to it by now.
So what got you into doing the taxidermy?
I've always really had an interest in it. I think it had to do with my grandfather growing up. He had taxidermy everywhere in his house. He was a hunter. And I don't think I really, as a child, understood what any of that meant, to be honest. I was just like, oh, he's got this cool giant boar hanging above the bed in the room I stay in. So, like, that's cool. You know, or the, hey, he's got these little lamps made out of deer feet, you know. So, and then, I don't know, I guess I just grew up as an odd duckling and I just been drawn to that kind of thing. And the more I looked into it, the more stuff I found. I'm just like, this is all really cool. So
very cool. Hell yeah.
That's very cool. That's something I never would think myself getting into, but hey.
You definitely need to have a very strong stomach.
I bet.
Yeah, definitely.
What were you saying, Christina? I cut you off.
That's fine. Last year, you came up to Salem, Mass.
I did. Have
any inspiration with that? And also, can we talk about the flag that's behind you?
Actually, I got this at the temple when I was Massachusetts. Yeah, the trip was beautiful. I had actually never been to Massachusetts before. I'm from Jersey, born and raised. You know, I've been a little bit of everywhere, and I can honestly say being in Massachusetts as a whole, it was probably the cleanest state I've been in. And I don't know if it's because you guys have those crazy littering fines. I'm going down the street, you're like $4,000 if you're caught littering. I'm like, that's insane. But I will say this, it works.
Oh, you didn't go to Boston.
No, I didn't. I guess a whole different ball game over there.
Salem's real. They keep Salem really nice.
Yeah,
but of course, all parts of it.
Salem's beautiful at this time of year.
Yeah, it is.
It was definitely an experience, and we went during fall. So being in the area with the colors of the leaves changing, it was beautiful.
Very cool. Definitely go back again. So you were in, you did some Inked Girls magazines, I saw?
I have been in Inked Magazine. I work for their website, talk to different people. I've done tattoo conventions and stuff, not with Inked. I've worked for a friend Gio of mine. I did a couple other booths, did promotions for clothing companies there. What else? I was actually a judge for one of the tattoo competitions
in
Westchester.
That was fun.
It was fun. You get to see some crazy tattoos that were done over the weekend or like in the past. There was some really cool shit.
I thought that was hard to like just narrow that down.
It was. It went by category. And it wasn't this is the tattoo I like the best. Because, like, there were some tattoos that I thought, like, that's a really cool concept. But the basics of the tattoos, like the line work, the shading,
right?
You know, those all take, you know, are taken into account when you're doing the judging. So they definitely had some pretty good winners. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't see us having any tattoo fests for a little bit, but
or any fests.
Yeah. Yeah, I had friends that were supposed to be coming out here this summer to do some cons out here, and COVID put a kibosh to that real quick.
For sure.
Now, you mentioned you were hoping to come out with a fall line.
Correct.
For your product. What is your product? What's your line? Give us a little bit of insight on that.
I kind of have everything in my shop. It's kind of like one-stop shop. I originally started with like my artwork because I draw, I paint, I sculpt. I do a little bit of everything. I did jewelry for a long time. I still do jewelry, just not as much as I used to. Traveling, you know, for moving a bunch. A lot of my hands-on stuff that I've created is kind of like in storage. It's like when people order it, I pull it out. But I've been working on clothing line. I just released a whole bunch of bikinis this past summer that did fairly well. I'm going to be working on like sweatshirts, like pullover sweatshirts, like zip up hoodies. I might do long sleeve shirts. I'm not sure about that yet. Not positive.
Oh yeah. And where can people find your line of
clothing? I actually have in my profile on my Instagram, which I believe you guys have linked.
Yep.
There's a link you click there and it should say shop and it'll bring you right to my Etsy. Right now, any of the made to order clothing, since the manufacturers that I go through, everything's a little behind. So it's taking roughly like a month for the items to be made. I have everything shipped to me to make sure it's quality controlled, make sure there's no loose stitches, no messed seams, and then I send it out.
That's cool. That's really cool you have it shipped to you, because I feel like a lot of people definitely don't take that step. So that's very cool.
Especially since you know, they make the order, I put it right into my manufacturer. I don't do bulk orders or anything like that. Everything is made per person. As we go. So say you were to put in an order today, I would get that order through my Etsy. I would go in, contact my manufacturer and be like, all right, this is the style, this is the size. And then when it's not sent, because they have a typical day, they say typically it's like a 10-day period before it ships. And like, I understand COVID's a thing and it's putting production in halt, but like, I have customers.
Right.
So 11 day and I haven't gotten a notification, I kind of like push my manufacturer, like, hey, where's my customer's item? Like, it's got to get here. I kind of push the button. I know other people that are working with the same manufacturer are seeing like a 2-month delay. I just recently got a shirt shipment in. It was here within 3 weeks. So can't really complain there.
That's awesome. Hell yeah.
So hopefully, once some time goes by, things there will go much quicker. Right. But for the meantime, I do have the notice on my shop that, hey, if you do order the items, it might be a little bit for any made-to-order items. So if you need them in a certain time frame, message me first, please.
Yeah, and especially now with the times that we're dealing with now, as you mentioned, I mean, everything is being pushed back, and it sucks for people, you know, with your customers, because that's your livelihood.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, and with how packages have been handled lately, I'll be honest, I'm scared to send out any wet specimens or any of my framed projects that I have, because like my mom ordered something and it was a book and a bunch of like patches for like Girl Scouts or something, because she works she works for Girl Scout Committee. And they sent her the stuff and FedEx, I literally watched the guy from the middle of my yard just toss it onto my front porch. My mom, she goes to pick it up and look at it. There's a hole literally like the size of my palm. The book is hanging out and none of the patches were in it.
Oh, that's awful.
So like I was already worried about sending shipments out. And now I'm like, do I even want to risk that?
Right.
I'm thinking about telling people like, listen, save your shipping. Like if you live locally, I'll bring it to you. Like, yeah, the shipping right now is just insane.
Yeah, one of the guys that that works for us. He posts videos from his home security camera of FedEx, and they're just throwing it. And we're like,
without a care in the world.
No, and to your line of work with the wet specimens, you know, okay, there's broken glass, there's specimen stuff all over your porch, your wherever. Well,
the major problem with that is formalin. Granted, I don't ship anything with the liquid in it since it's technically illegal, but those specimens, like you said, if it breaks, then people have to try and touch it. Like, that's got extremely toxic and carcinogenic chemicals all over it. You can't be just picking it up.
Right.
Right.
You know? And then you have to find something to store it in if it breaks. And that's just, it's too much for people right now.
So when you ship stuff to them, you say you don't ship it already packed in the wet. Do you give them instructions on where to go get the stuff to?
Well, for the wet specimens, once they're completely fixed, you can store them so long as it's in a cool, dry area where there's no sunlight. You could put it in 70% isopropyl alcohol, and it will keep it from, like, deteriorating at all. Okay. Technically, if you take it out and just let it sit after it's been properly fixed, it can mummify completely. But I don't suggest that.
No.
It's a very long process. And if, God forbid, someone didn't fix it properly, completely all the way through, let it soak for literally like 7 months. I'm not even kidding you. Like, let it soak all the way through. You might have some rotting. And like I've said,
no,
not a good smell.
What you got, Christina? You've been up there itching to ask something. I can tell.
Couple things. What is your most prized oddity that you have?
Ooh. I'm not going to lie. I might have to say the bat. Fair. I might have to say the bat. It is, I will admit, it is the newest to my personal collection. But that was definitely a holy grail of mine. And I've been looking literally for 10 years to find a wet specimen bat that was ethically sourced, and even not ethically sourced, wet specimen bats are very, very difficult to find.
That's cool. That's going to go on my list now, because I think I have about 7 dry bats. So now you're going to get me onto like a crazy wild goose chase for a wet one.
Yeah. I knew the guy, and just so you know, they're not cheap. That one was like $400. And that's no thing. So,
sure.
So be prepared to pay a pretty penny if you do find one.
I'll be ready. Have you gone to what's like your favorite oddity store that you've gone to so far, either like in your state or did you come to any en masse?
I wouldn't really say I have a favorite oddity store per se. There's one in Philly. I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now. I could picture their logo. I'm literally drawing a blank as to what their name is.
Ah, hate that.
Actually, hold on. Now this is going to drive me nuts. Now I need to figure it out. But yeah, this one shop, they have Strange and Unusual. I didn't even have to pull it up on my phone. The Strange and Unusual in Philly.
Right now.
Yes, cool definitely. Name. They have some of the coolest stuff. I'm actually in the process of buying my own house, and I've already told my boyfriend that I want the moose that they have.
Very cool.
They have a giant moose. Its antlers are, oh my God, it's beautiful.
Is it full-size moose or just the head? Stuff in there. Is it full-size or just the head?
It's just the bust.
Okay.
Yeah. They have a bear in there, a full-size bear. It's wearing like a little hat. It's actually really cute. I think they also have a full mountain lion in there. They have like some fox and other animal like set up. They have been there for a while. I don't know if those are actually for sale. To my knowledge, the mountain lion is not legally allowed to be sold. So I don't think it is. There are definitely some things in there that say not for sale, I'm assuming, because it's technically illegal to sell certain things.
So, interesting. Yeah. Now, when we, I think the first conversation we ever had was when you did an Instagram live. I think you were just at work and you were like, hey, I just need some company. We had talked a hell of a lot of paranormal. What's it like down in New Jersey with spooky or ghosts?
In New Jersey, I would say it really depends on the area. I've done a lot of weird New Jersey things. I'll be completely honest with you. I haven't really seen too much. I will say this, though. I have gone over to the Delaware Water Gap, to the houses over there. I don't know if I should be saying this because I'm pretty sure it's trespassing. But the houses over there, they definitely have some crazy paranormal activity going in. I don't know what happened there. But when I went there a couple years ago, it was crazy. I actually ran out of the woods and back to the car. Like I said,
yeah,
no,
okay.
No. And I worked with, Ghost Finders for a while, doing paranormal search, you know, with them doing a TV show and stuff, which was a lot of fun. A lot of crazy stuff. So like the Delaware Water Gap, I was just like, I've been here before. We're not playing these games.
So you don't know what happened there? Okay. I've never heard of that location.
I have no idea. One of my ex's friends said like a family was murdered there in one of the houses. We didn't go to that particular house that night.
Right. Just the area in general.
Yeah. We were there literally in the middle of the night. So we were already kind of like, ooh, spooky. You know, scarier at night. But yeah, that I would say probably the only place, and I don't even know if that's actually on the New Jersey side. I'm not sure. So yeah, New Jersey, I really wouldn't say there's anything, at least in my opinion. I don't know if it's just because like I've experienced a lot of stuff elsewhere.
Okay.
But yeah, New Jersey, I hate to say it's kind of boring when it comes to paranormal activity stuff.
Well, one of our watchers right now is coming from Montreal, Canada. Derek, he wants to know if you've ever heard of the Jersey Devil, seeing as how you were born and raised.
I have heard of the Jersey Devil. I'm not gonna lie. When I was younger, I was definitely more afraid of it. I literally live in the Pine Barrens. That's where I live, where they say the Jersey Devil is. Never seen him. Not saying he's not real, but I've spent a lot of time in the woods in the Pine Barrens, and I don't know if I can say fortunately or unfortunately have not come across him.
Fair enough.
So when it comes to the paranormal, what got you into that, into exploring that avenue?
It actually just completely fell on my lap, to be completely honest with you. I was working with a photographer who at the time I considered a really good friend of mine. We no longer talk. But he was like, hey, you know, a producer contacted me, wanna work with some of the models that I work with. Like, you wanna come along? Like, do you wanna meet them? They're interested in meeting you. I was like, fuck yeah. Why wouldn't I wanna do that? Or something spooky, they get to travel, do something fun. All right, I'm in.
Right.
I had dealt with things when I was younger, things that, you know, you're walking through the house and your footsteps, no one's there, door slams, no one else is in the house with you, you know, stuff like that growing up. But I'd never seen anything that was like a definitive, yes, there are ghosts, or yes, there are spirits, you know, whatever. Until I was actually on the show and we went to places that were deemed haunted. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little skeptical of the show. I was like, they're gonna put us on and they're gonna like play all these little things and we're literally gonna be acting. And I can honestly say none of the show was acting, none of it at all. It was just legitimate reactions to what we experienced.
What was the like craziest experience you had?
I would say as crazy as it sounds, being what they told me was possessed, actually. I was at the Burnbrae Mansion, which is in Glens Bay, New York. I don't know how into creepy, spooky, paranormal stuff you are. If you want to experience some crazy stuff, go yes, check that out. Absolutely. The owners got it. They turned it into a bed and breakfast. You can go through in the rooms. There's like little journals. People write about their experiences. I didn't actually know about that for the first few days we were there. And then one of the girls that was rooming with me was like, hey, didn't you say this happened to you? I forget what it was. Something really stupid. Like, I felt like someone tug on my toe or something. It's like something stupid like that in the middle of the night. And she had read through and she's like, look at this. And like, a couple years prior, someone else had written basically something along the same lines in the book.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had like some weird trails in the back. Come to find out when we got there, they said, don't go in the basement. My little crew and security that came to pick me up, we were late getting to set. So we didn't hear that. So when they said, yeah, you're free to explore the grounds, we explored the grounds. We went down there. I instantly, like, we went down. It was dark out. Our phone cameras and phones just automatically died. Like, as soon as we got within a vicinity of, yeesh, like, the little cement that was right in front of the door, I went down there. And I was kind of, like, looking around. Like, it's kind of creepy. But I just got, like, this really weird feeling. Like, something's not right down here. Closed the door, went on her way, went to bed. Come to find out, I have zero recollection of it, but they actually saw me get up at night, leave the room, and go back to the basement. Yeah.
Okay. Don't like that.
I have no recollection of it whatsoever. The owner was like, you let my cat out. You let my cat out. And I'm like, I'll admit, like, I was down there earlier. I fully admit that. Like, you have cameras. You can see me. Like,
right.
But there were no cats down there. And they're like, no, you went during this time. And I'm like, no, I really didn't. And then they showed me and I was like, shit, I did. I'm so sorry. We wound up finding the cats, thankfully. There was another, after that, it was like the day after. I'm sitting down, we're all eating dinner. Because they, like I said, they do like a bed and breakfast. They do, I think it was breakfast. And dinner. There was no lunch provided, but it's like family style. You'll sit around the table. And I just get up. I hadn't really eaten anything that would have upset my stomach. And I went to the bathroom. I felt really uneasy. And I started vomiting like black sludge.
Ooh.
And I just like, I was shaking real bad. I texted my friend Emily. She came in. Then they came out, the producers came and they saw me. I was like shaking real bad. And all of a sudden I was just overcome with this such sadness. I started bawling my eyes out. I had literally no reason to. And I was just overcome with pure raw emotions that weren't mine. Don't know where they came from or anything like that. And they brought me outside. They ripped my shoes off. I just remember, like I said, just my body felt like real woozy and I was just so like my best friend had just died. Like that's how the ache in my heart felt. It was just, I've even to this day after actually losing my best friend, I cannot explain to you the sorrow and the hurt that I had. And it wasn't my own. They literally ripped me out of the house, ripped my shoes off. I had two full grown men like having their arms around me. They were saying something about something leaving my body. You don't control this. I, like I said, was just a sobbing mess. I don't really remember too much of that whole thing. I just remember them trying to tell me to focus on grounding myself and feeling my feet in the grass because I wasn't wearing shoes or socks. And then all of a sudden my legs just gave out from underneath me and the emotion was gone.
Damn,
that's crazy.
To this day was probably one of the scariest things that I've experienced.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
People joke about it. I'll admit I got the thing and you know, I made a smart ass remark and it's probably my own fault. One of the guys was like, oh, I wonder if I'm gonna get possessed, and I made the smart comment, oh, if anyone's gonna get possessed while we're here, it's gonna be me.
Damn.
Yeah, and
insert foot into mouth.
Yeah, the producer of the show was like, "You really can't be taunting these things."
Right.
There was another instance, same exact place. Another girl that was also on the show. I'm like 98% sure she was also possessed by something entirely different. We're sitting in the room. We're using one of the devices. I'll be honest with you. I haven't used them in so long. I don't remember what it was called. And we're talking it, whatever it was in the room. And Chanel just got like this glaze over her eyes. And she starts like tilting her head. Like, you know, when you see like in horror movies, how like someone
gets do like that creepy kind of, like, tilt thing and just look.
Yeah. And then she starts like grinning at me. And mind you, she's like a very, like, I would say like hippie, very peaceful, like not creepy, empty, like anything like that. And all of a sudden she just like gets real close to me. And the girls, one of the other girls in the room asked, she's like, "Do you want to be left alone with her?" And Chanel just shook her head like this and like staring at me. And I got like, when she got real close to me, I got lightheaded and I sat down on the couch and I closed my eyes and I just had this weird vision of like this smoky figure face. And Bree said, "This is not safe. Whatever is going on with Chanel, it clearly wants you alone with her. You need to go downstairs with the producers." I said, "Okay, I'll go downstairs."
Yeah.
So I went downstairs and they had this guy, Art, who worked on the property, who had dealt with a lot of the spirits there, knows a lot of the history of the place. And I described to the producer, who I guess they had been talking about stuff while we were upstairs. I explained what happened. He's like, "You need to come here and tell Art this." He goes, "But don't come in the room. Stand at the doorway." I was like, "Okay." He goes, "Look at the other way." So my back's facing towards them. And I kind of like closed my eyes and like described what I had seen when I was upstairs with Chanel. And the guy was like, "You've got to be kidding me. Come here. Look at this." And they actually had a photo album out. And they, while this experience was happening upstairs, they were showing photos of exactly what I had seen when I closed my eyes when Chanel was in front of me, which was like a smoky, I can't even really describe it at this point. It was like a sunken face with like dark areas for the eyes.
That's wild.
And they literally had a photograph of it on the property.
How old was the photo?
I don't know. I didn't actually ask that question.
I'm curious if it's like from the 70s or if it was like more
recent.
I'm not sure. I want to say Art said he had taken the photo himself.
Okay.
But he had been working on the property, I believe, for 20 plus years. So
it's possible.
It could be possible. I know people have definitely died in that house. I think there was a woman who was murdered there in the house. There was a little girl who had died who we actually also was able to speak to. We could hear little like running down the hallway, like little kids running. And you'd hear like a little girl laughing in the middle of the night. I'm not going to lie. Super creepy.
Yeah.
We're going to have to look this up.
There. No kids. And you hear a little girl like giggling in the dark end of the hallway as you're walking from the bathroom to your back to your room. It's like, it's a little unnerving.
That's when I run out with my hands up in the air. I'm screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. The upstairs, they have an attic that's full of different memorabilia that people have sent them because it's possessed or cursed or whatever. They actually have a spittoon from Atlantic City. It came from, I guess, one of the casinos or something. It was donated. And supposedly every single time someone has touched it, they've gotten extremely injured. So the owner was like, "Do not touch it." He brought us up, pointed out, and goes, "Don't touch it. If you get hurt, you can't sue me."
Fair enough.
That's fair.
Do not touch it.
I might have touched it.
A bunch of other people, if you actually watched one of the episodes from when we were in Glens Bay, you see me, I look at them, I'm like, "You guys are crazy. I would not be touching any of this. None of it."
Ben's up
replica guns and everything. I'm like, no. We found actually a room, a hidden room in the house the owner didn't even know was there.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a bassinet and a rocking chair.
And there, right. there plays
That's
a kid.
That's my cue to leave.
Yeah. I actually had found that with the guy Art. We had gone up there and I noticed in the attic there's like a wall. And there was like a little gap, literally like this. And I saw a cobweb like moving. I'm like, there's air, but like the bedroom's not there. What is that? What is there? And we got permission to cut probably like a hole, probably like this big. Hmm. And we stuck a camera with night vision down there. And you could see the rocking chair moving ever so slightly. There was a bassinet and then there was three wooden, like it looked like toy chests with a wooden train. And one of those creepy baby dolls, like the sack dolls that had like the wooden arms and stuff, just sitting there. And then what looked like a metal headboard or footboard for a bed and a little dresser. No windows to the room. No door. And it was just brick off to the rest of the house.
That's wild. Yeah. Does the owner like live there permanently? Do they stay there?
Yes.
All right, sure.
Yeah. When he first he said when he first moved in, it was super creepy, but he's gotten used to it. He says, you know, they consider them like family. Like,
And he said that it was in New York?
Glen Spey, New York. Burn Bray Mansion.
Definitely.
Jay, you can check that out because he's
absolutely
wants to go.
Yeah. The property's massive. There's a huge graveyard. There's stables in the back. You could stay in the little rooms there. I haven't been in them, but just being over there is super creepy. I personally would have rather been in the huge house where I know there's other people in other rooms.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. I personally, after the experience I have, I do not suggest going alone.
Oh, hell no.
I'm sure the owner makes sure it's safe to go alone. But I personally don't suggest going alone.
Yeah, no, I'm 6'2" and I'm a big guy. I won't go alone. No, no. We got a few minutes left, Madeline. You have a lot of links. We have your bio. We're gonna post that up on our site, from your taxidermy to the modeling,
clothesline,
the paranormal.
Yes, thank you,
Christina. Do you have any last questions before we let her go enjoy the rest of her Sunday evening?
If anybody wanted to see some of the old paranormal stuff, is there anywhere they can go to watch them?
I do know Ghost Finders. I do still believe they are still filming. I'm not sure if they have any seasons left. I actually haven't really talked to the producers of it in quite some time now. But I do believe you could probably find some of their videos on YouTube. I know their show is aired on Roku TV. That's who their platform is. I'm not sure how many of the episodes that I'm in are still up. I'm not sure. I think I showed someone just a couple months ago the Glen Spey one, so that might still be up there. Cool. But yeah, if you go to their website, I know they have some links to like some of like the interviews and stuff from our visit there. But you might be able to find it through there. I'll try and find some links and I'll try and send it to you guys so you guys can check it out.
Yeah,
thank you.
That would be awesome to see. Anyone you want to plug or give a shout out to before we let you go?
I don't know, really. I want to thank Kristen for having me on.
Thank you.
Very much appreciated.
That's very exciting.
I thank you.
Yes, honestly, thank you for joining us.
Of course, thank you for having me. You're always a pleasure to speak with. So,
yes, thank you for coming on. Like I said, we'll plug your bio with all your links up on the site. The show should be up there by tomorrow night. We'll send you the link when it's up there so you can pass it around if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
And we wish you all the best and look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Yeah, definitely set that up.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the spooky season, guys.
You too.
You as well.
Bye.
Bye.
She's awesome.
Oof, I want to do some paranormal stuff now.
That was probably the most intense paranormal story I've heard of something someone's been through.
I know.
Like, I would have shit myself.
What's cool is, like, you watch all the ones on, I guess you could say, like, Travel Channel, And you like see that happening and you wonder, like she said, like, is it acting or something? For so for somebody to come on and give their experience that, hey, this shit did actually happen. That's kind of crazy.
Right.
Well, I've always been skeptical of the shows because, like she said, you don't know if you're going to go there and you're going to have to act or if they're throwing out like holograms or shit like that. So, so to see and hear, well, to hear that it's actual, it's real.
Yeah.
And the scares are real. That's just,
That's awesome. Very cool.
Oh.
Would you be possessed? If we did a paranormal thing. Would you want to say like, hey, I experienced this and I did not expect it? Like a possession?
No. I don't want to be possessed. No, thank you.
I mean, I don't want to be possessed, but I want to see some paranormal shit.
And I've seen paranormal shit for sure. And I like, believe in energy from a different world, definitely, but I'm not going to fuck with it. I'm going to leave it alone. And it can leave me alone.
Like Ouija boards. Hey, let's sell this to an 8-year-old kid.
Right. Oh, that's going to do it for us tonight, folks. Sinner Sundays episode 27 with Madeline Morningstar. Don't forget to go check out Drew, our Demon of the Month, on hellentertainment.com. On our Facebooks, make sure you go and like Hellfire Radio socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't think they have a Twitch yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And 365 Live.
Yes. Live 365 app. Download it. Put it on your phone. You can take Hellfire Radio where you go. Put it in your pocket. You can listen to this show if you missed it. On Sinner Sundays Rewind on Tuesdays at 11:30 during your lunch hour.
Hell yeah.
So there's no reasons you shouldn't be listening to this fucking show.
And it's awesome.
And in about a half an hour, you can catch me and Ashley on the Instagram doing a recap of this show.
Hellfire Radio Instagram.
Yes. On that note, we are going to leave you guys to your Sundays. Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Sunday. We have a pretty special guest next week. So be on the lookout for that. And we will chat with you guys next Sunday.
Later, Al.
Below average talent, above average music. The Asylum Mornings on Hellfire Radio.
Hey, what's up, man? I think it's pretty obvious right about now who you're looking at, but I'll tell you anyhow. I'm Shaggy Too Dope, the Southwest Strangler.
And I'm Vinnie J, the Duke of the Wicked.
And together we happen to be
the Insane Clown Posse.
And right about now, it's time to get a big, big, big fat shout out to Hell's Entertainment, their media outlet for all touring artists.
They offer videography, design work, photography, motherfucking freshology. Are you a touring artist? Do you get out there and grind? Or are you a boring artist? Do you sit home and whine? Because if you're a worker, hook up with Hell's Entertainment.
That's right, Hell's Entertainment. You can reach them at www.hellentertainment.com.
And if you're not done with that, go to hell!